Chapter 6. Two Lords of the Night.
I killed them all,
Kerr said quietly. I enjoyed it, he added obstinately. They were all guilty anyway. I wonder how many would have died by my hand had your Imperium lived up to your expectations. How many more men like that would I have killed, full of righteous loathing for their inferiority? That would have been just, don't you think?
His challenge went unanswered.
I wonder often if Korax would have followed me into this same darkness had the war not come. He and I were so similar. We could have been twins. Of them all, he and Sanguinius were the closest to me. Not personally. None of them were my friends, Kerr said sarcastically. There were never any friends for me. But they were the most alike, though for different reasons. Korax and I, yes, both creatures of darkness. I, the murderer, he, the assassin, both preoccupied by justice, both raised around criminals.
He shivered sensuously and drew black fingernails over his luminous flesh.
We followed similar paths. We should have had so much in common, and yet Korax always hated me. He thought I was barbaric, cruel. Him, the noble freedom fighter who incinerated untold thousands in atomic fire to secure his great moral victory. He understood the value of atrocity well enough, even if he pretended not to.
Kerr shook his head and laughed.
You see, that's what I don't understand. Why did you breed such a clutch of hypocrites?
He wrapped long bony arms around his knees and pressed his face into them.
I'll tell you something else, said Kurz. I hated him too. You might think I hated all my brothers. I didn't. They were the ones that hated me. I could not hate them back. Most of them I could tolerate. A few I respected. A couple I loved, though they never returned the affection. But I hated Korax.
He looked aside in shame and spoke to the wall.
I hated him so much. I didn't hate him for being like me, nor for being better, though if he and I were two aspects of the same principle, he was the better one. Everything about us was so similar to your design,
Kerr said significantly.
Was he not born into awful straits? Was he not victimized, oppressed? But he did not murder like I did. He used passion and argument where I used blood. I hated myself for not being like him. But I couldn't despise someone for being what I was not. Why would I hate him for any of those things?
He looked back at the statue and cleared his throat theatrically.
Was it that he failed, like I did, to fully tame his world, meekly handing it over to the Mechanicum? Did I hate him because he was weak?
He pressed his face hard into his updrawn knee.
I couldn't hate him for that either.
He sneered, gnawing at his skin until blood ran.
I tell you why. Envy of his mastery lay behind my hatred. I haunted the night, but Korax owned it.
Breath hissed through dagger teeth.
He owned it. My stupid, short-sighted sons thought the Raven's abilities came from technology given only to the 19th. I saw it was innate. Imagine what I could have done had you given the same gifts to me. How much more perfect a monster I would have been had the Shadows loved me as much as they loved Korax.
Choking clouds of flesh smoke rolled from every opening in the street, restricting vision to a handful of meters and hiding lumps of rockcrete that leapt out on helm plate displays only when they were ready to snare the squad's feet. Sevatar's visual feed was a mess of white, half-guessed outlines and uncertain target locks. He tuned his suit's auto-senses up and down the spectrum, but every range was compromised. Rolling waves of electromagnetism, let out by energy weapon strikes, disrupted the highest frequencies, rendering radar and other devices reliant on regular wave patterning useless. In the lower ranges, all forms of visible and near-visible light were swallowed up by the oily smoke. Prey sight was especially useless. When activated, blazing buildings turned the world into shifting columns of color, impossible to navigate. Only pulsed sound waves offered a way through, and they could not be trusted. The density of the environment and the thundering orbital bombardment sent false echoes back. Sevatar's foot rang off a boulder of rockcrete fragments with a shuddering bang. He stumbled, kicking his way through a tangle of twisted rebar wrapped through the false stone. Fragments of the crete bounced across the road. He slowed, scanning billows of smoke and the swift glimpses of buildings he snatched from the murk. Cayman Manek didn't see Sevatar slow and slammed hard into his power pack, sending them both reeling. Sevatar recovered first, grabbing hold of Manek's pauldron. Armor servos grunted as he twisted the trooper's shoulder, forcing the other into an ungainly lean.
"Wash yourself,"
Sevatar said quietly, helm to helm, and shoved the apothecary back.
"I was born in the darkest pit of the sunless world, but it's impossible to see anything in this,"
Manek growled. His eye lenses were red sparks in the rolling black smoke. A triple shell burst shot the air. Whistling and sonic booms announced more ordnance incoming.
"Try," snarled Sevatar. "World curse is here somewhere."
Manek backed off. Sevatar was not known for his empathy. The rest of the command squad drew up with Sevatar and Manek as shells rained down.
"Reach your zone 4 blocks away and closing,"
said Ashmenkai Vor, pointing back the way they had come.
"They're trekking over the city in our direction."
He was too wise to call the first captain's plan out for idiocy, but put his concern into the tone of what he said.
"Aspects,"
said Sevatar. His head didn't stop moving, constantly searching for a clean way through the burning sector. A starship lance strike hit a few streets away, sending liquid ripples through the earth. Perturbed by the groundquake, a building collapsed with an all-too-human moan. Debris from its demise bounced from their armor.
"It was close. This hunt is going to kill us all." "Be quiet, Vor. We're going back with Lord Kurz, or we're not going back at all."
The Auspex sweep was taking too long.
"Data now,"
Sevatar demanded. The strain of losing their gene father was evident in his voice. His warriors glanced at one another.
"Sir, the Auspex is little more use than our sensoriums. I require a little time."
Gish Tovar was calm in the face of Sevatar's anger.
"Give me a lock on the Primarch."
"This area is thick with biosigns, First Captain."
"Can anyone raise Shang?"
said Manek.
"Why would we want to do that?"
asked Vor.
"He's the equerry. He should be where the Primarch is,"
said Janka Fenn, the final member of the group.
"As much as it's going to disappoint you all, I cannot raise Shang or anyone else," Tovor said.
He looked skywards, where the smoke and steam raised by the bombardment flashed with destructive energies.
"We are in the proverbial eye of the storm. Nothing is coming into this sector, and nothing is going out. They could drop a magna bomb on our heads, and nobody would be any the wiser what happened to us."
"Someone's probably about to do that," said Vor.
Sevatar's vox feed ran foul with the worst Nostromon curses.
"This way,"
he said, pointing through the shifting veils of smoke towards a building at the end of the street, massive enough to defy the murk.
"Do you have a location, sir?"
asked Tovor.
"No,"
said Sevatar, setting off at a run.
"But any direction is better than standing around with you imbeciles."
The bombardment was creeping closer, and the squad rushed towards the building in their haste to remain ahead of it. There were a few pockets of resistance left in the city, and the squad did not have time to take the proper care. A single gunshot cracked from behind a broken column, answered by a dozen mass reactives from the running Night Lord's guns that obliterated the stone and the man sheltering behind.
"Brave,"
said Vor.
"Stupid,"
said Manek. There was no more resistance after that. Every single window in the building had leapt from its frame and lay smashed on the ground around the frontage. Sevatar's men crashed through the debris, their massive boots reducing glass shards to powder. The heavily decorated main doors had also been blasted out from inside. Three large pieces clung to the hinges. The rest had been turned to blackened shreds of bronze fanning out from the portal. Fire belched from windows 100 stories above as the unit ran from the street into the grand entrance hall, now a precarious scrap pile full of broken wood and steel. Despite fires guttering in various places in the building, there was little smoke in there, a thin blue haze instead of the thick black plumes of incinerated flesh outside. Sevatar had no data on what the building had been. There was an insufficient amount of it left to decide for himself. A direct lance hit had cored it from pinnacle to basement, gifting it with an atrium. Rooms once closed off now brazenly opened themselves to the air. The damage was impressively precise. The giant laser cannons hit deep and hard, but they were surgical tools. A large one might vaporize everything in a 40-meter diameter, but damage beyond this point was caused by direct heat and secondary shockwave. If the secondary effects were blunted somehow, it was not unknown for objects only meters away from the target point to survive unharmed. Floors hung ragged beams over the new gap. Liquid from broken pipes gathered soot from the walls and ran filthy black waterfalls down to ground level. Flames licked from burning furniture, and everywhere drifted sheets of paper swirling in the thermals, some ablaze, mingling with fat cinders of corpse ash. Fenn whistled.
Look at this place! Why are we doing this? This planet was ours already. Why has the Night Haunter come down here?
Sevatar knew why. He didn't say.
Who knows what the Primarch's will is? Perhaps he wishes to make himself a new domicile. Now it has been remodeled, this looks like the sort of place Lord Kurz might favour, said Vor.
Tovor made himself busy with his auspex.
Quiet, said Sevatar.
The squad irritated him. Kurz was missing, at danger from his own fleet. An itch at the edge of his consciousness dragged his attention upwards through the ragged mess of the lance hit. It wasn't exactly chance that had brought them here. He didn't like to acknowledge his curse, let alone use it, but he saw little alternative to letting his latent powers guide them under the circumstances.
Up,
he commanded. The others looked at each other when he gave no reason for his decision. Tovor glanced up from the screen mounted on the back of his arm.
Sir, I have no reading.
Now,
Sevatar said. Vor shrugged.
You heard him,
he said. Up! And he jogged towards the remains of the monumental stair. The rest followed after. Sevatar led them out onto the 50th floor. Around a corner lay 5 dead legionaries.
Bodies,
said Fenn.
Endless night, they're us,
said Vor. He ran to the first.
96th Company, 12th Claw,
he said, reading the markings and notched runes decorating the armour plate. He looked closer.
What but the... His armour,
said Vor. He maglocked his bolter to his leg and heaved the body over, revealing the true extent of the fallen legionary's injuries. Manek joined him.
He's been excruciated.
He squatted down beside the fallen legionary for a better look. Shattered chest armour exposed seeping viscera. The ceramite was obliterated, but the fused ribs had been carefully excised, and the skin around peeled back with surgical precision. Ashmenke Vor shook his head.
Mutilated. Who had the time for this?
Manek played his narthesium over the dead warrior.
His enhancements have been removed. His gene seed is gone.
There's another one over here, said Tovor. Same claw, same wounds.
Who would do that? The natives? What weapon do they have to crack battle plate?
Said Vor.
And why take the Emperor's gifts?
None, said Manek. These wounds were inflicted by power blades, set in pairs, wide-spaced, artificial lightning claws.
Mercy,
said Fenn.
And forgiveness, said Tovor. The Primarch's weapons, said Manek.
Vor got to his feet.
Captain, is he here?
Called Vor, his crackling voice crashing through the hush. Sevatar did not answer, but pushed on for the back of the building, past the blackened shaft cored out by the lance hit. Doors opened on a wrecked auditorium. The ceiling of the theatre was holed in many places, letting in colourless shafts of light heavy with motes of ash. A smashed stage occupied much of the front. Dusty chairs sat in rows on a shallow incline. Sevatar noted all this in an instant, faster even than his armour scanned and labelled it all for him in flickering columns of runes. But what hit him first was the smell, the spicy scent of spilled legionary blood and innards scooped from their proper places. Conrad Kurz was at the epicentre of the slaughter.
"My lord," said Sevatar.
Kurz squatted upon a pile of wrecked transhuman flesh and shattered armour in the darkest part of the theatre, away from the slanting beams of light. Kurz turned to face his warriors. His chin was streaked with blood, shreds of engineered organ flesh stuck between his teeth. He held a severed arm loosely in his hands.
"Sevatar," said Kurz.
His brow wrinkled, and he blinked slowly.
"Why are you here? It is dangerous. The bombardment."
He waved the flopping limb up at the ceiling.
"We have come for you," said Sevatar. "You are at risk."
The Night Haunter shook his head, sending his unkempt black hair swinging to and fro. There had been a time, near the beginning of the war, when he adopted higher standards of personal hygiene, as befitted a lord of men. Lately, he had returned to his old ways.
"I am not at risk," said Kurz. "You are the one at risk coming here."
"I doubt you'd survive a lance hit yourself," said Sevatar gently.
He approached his genesire. The others, unsure what to do, fanned out uneasily, looking for enemies and finding only shattered chairs and fallen drapes.
"You found them," said Sevatar.
"Your brothers here would not listen."
Kurz smiled sadly at Sevatar.
"I have disciplined them."
"Sev," shouted Vor, "what is happening? These are 96th. They're all new and the fresh recruits. What's going on?" "Be quiet, Vor. This is not your concern," said Sevatar.
The Primarch held the arm by its elbow and poked a helm with it. The fingers curled in on themselves.
"I'll tell him, my good little son," said Kurz sourly. "These warriors who came here in midnight clad exceeded their remit. They overreached their ambitions for slaughter."
"What does he mean, Sevatar?" "I said shut up, Vor," said Sevatar. "I won't shut up. Our lord has killed his sons, our brothers."
"I have," said Kurz.
He looked in mild surprise at the severed arm he held.
"Yes. Why do we kill the way we do, Ashmenkai Vor? Why do we skin and torture? Why do we hurt those we would save?"
"To strike fear," responded Vor. "Fear is the greatest of all weapons. Fear will cow a world when guns will not. We spill blood to save blood."
Kurz nodded.
"That is so. What is the utility of terror?"
"Terror is a clean blade. Its cut disarms opponents without doing them harm. Terror is the friend of compliance."
"You have my teachings well at heart. What of the innocents we must slaughter?"
Vor's voice became hard.
"The few must die in pain so the many can live in peace. Fear is the road to civilization. It is paved with bone and washed with blood, but the destination forgives the sin of the journey."
"The ends justify the means," Kurz sighed.
He threw the arm aside. It landed with a soft, heavy thump.
"These men did not agree with the sentiments you have spoken. They inflicted pain for the sport of it. They continued past the point of optimal terror. They slew to entertain themselves."
He hunched lower.
"A poor intake, not worthy of the gifts given them."
The bombing rumbled on outside.
"Then the bombardment, it is to hide their crimes from the other legions?" said Manik.
"You at least, Cayman Manik, are blessed with a little brain," Kurz said. "A city burns when it should not. All for the errors of these criminals.
We should return to the fleet, my lord. I promise to convene the Chiroptera at the first opportunity, said Sevatar. We shall conduct a purge of inappropriate recruits.
A grunt greeted Sevatar's promise.
It will not help.
It is too late for that now, said Kurz. The serpent has bitten. The poison is inside the body and begins its work. I have seen it.
My lord.
Kurz silenced him with a gesture. His head came up, sniffing at the air like a hound.
We are no longer alone.
Tovor's Auspex let out a single ping.
Weapons!
Commanded Sevatar. The command claw brought up their bolters.
I am detecting battleplate power outputs all around us, said Tovor. Multiple returns. 8 at least.
I have clear biosign readings, said Manic. By the walls. In the shadows.
There's nothing there, said Vor.
Shadows moved around the periphery of the auditorium. Uncertain target locks flickered over undulations in the dark. White outlines on red lens feeds twisted awkwardly, attempting to find something that did not wish to be seen. The sensorium did better than Sevatar's eyes. He blinked, but his vision stubbornly refused to see what his armor told him was there. A single Nostraman rune blinked steadily on Sevatar's helm display. Threat.
Draw in! Protect the Primarch!
He commanded. He activated the magnetic binders on his bolter and slapped it to his thigh, and plucked his chain glaive from his back. The command claw fell back around their lord. Kurz remained motionless, disinterested. Bolts racked into chambers. The shadows ceased their movement.
I have steady targets, said Tovor. Sharing.
The white outlines flickered on Sevatar's displays into the shapes of space marines in full warplate, and yet he could not actually see them.
Should we open fire?
Said Vor, his voice thick with the desire to fight.
Hold, said Kurz. Lower your weapons.
Reluctantly, Sevatar's warriors obeyed. The shadows rippled. Black-armored space marines detached themselves from puddles of darkness, like plastic sculptures rising from tar. Where only targeting data had been before, Sevatar now saw a full squad of 19th Legion veterans, materializing from darkness to fill the outlines painted by his cogitator. His eyes ached, begging him to tear off his winged helm and rub them. This could not be. Nostraman Born could see into any shadow. The Ravens should not have been able to hide so completely. But they had. Occupying a broad ledge that had housed statues, now broken on the ground, the Raven Guard had the higher position. Unlike the Night Lords, they had their weapons raised.
You have us at a tactical disadvantage, said Kurz. I trust neither you nor my sons will do anything regrettable.
He looked at Sevatar.
Am I right?
If they move, take them down, said Sevatar.
He held his glaive ready, his finger hovering over the activation stud. None of the Raven Guard spoke. They left that to their lord. Very little shocked Sevatar. Even for a space marine, he was solid as stone, unmoved by the remnant emotions his brothers suffered so much from. But when Corvus Korax emerged from shadow far too shallow to accommodate him, he blinked in surprise. Nothing that big should have been able to materialize that way. His battleplate alone should have revealed him. Every mark of power armor growled and thumped and whined with activity. Korax's did not. His armor ran silently, with no grinding joints, no teeth-itching hum. He appeared from nothing, as noiselessly as oil running over water. Masters of fear and pitiless killers all, the Night Lords felt the unfamiliar pangs of disquiet.
Brother, said Korax, I come to you without violent intent. But please, explain to me what is going on in this city.
His voice was soft like the Night Haunter's, though not as sibilant, and with a more measured tone. Sevatar refused to let it beguile him. The threat Korax made was clear enough. Warsuit cogitators redrew the target outline around Korax, expanding it from the legionary it thought it had seen to the Primarch he revealed himself to be. With an apologetic flourish, their sensorium aides graced the weak points of Korax's sable armour with floating recommendations for targeting. The hum in Sevatar's helm changed pitch as his warplate reconsidered the Primarch's threat rating, appending a rune of high danger to Korax's head. It flashed, but did not change when Korax removed his helm. The warnings weren't worth a damn. The Primarch would be on them before their fingers could squeeze their triggers, even with the Night Haunter there. He looked between his father and his distant uncle, caught for an eternity upon the blade of choice. If he acted first, he would probably die. If Korax had violent intentions towards Kurz and made the first move, then he'd definitely die. The vox clicked. Vor's voice breathed private uncertainty into his ears.
Sif, what do we do? Those bastards have the drop on us. If...
The first captain cut him off.
Do not think it. Certainly do not say it. Wait.
Sevatar had never met the Raven Lord, only seen him from a distance, and he had never seen the Night Haunter and Korax side by side. It was said they were brothers cast in the same mould, and truly, the similarities between them were astonishing. Their skin shared death's pallor, their eyes were sinister orbs of ink, the Lord of Ravens completely black, the Lord of Murders barely less so, only a touch of white either side of his enlarged pupils. Both carried talons of steel. Both evoked winged creatures of darkness. One, Chiropteran, the other, Avian. Both were masters of the dark. Their facial features were markedly fraternal. Long, thin noses, narrow faces, high cheekbones, sharp chins, jet-black hair. The differences were starker for the similarities. Kurz was filthy and stank of blood. Korax was clean, his armour polished. But it was in their expressions that they diverged the most. Corvus Korax bore a perpetual light frown, and an expression of such utmost seriousness it strayed into caricature. Kurz's face changed constantly, small ticks transforming it from arch knowingness to wild-eyed threat, signs of the incipient madness that, even then, Sevatar was becoming aware of. The possibility of violence turned the air to glass, which any sudden movement might shatter. Two lords of men, one midnight-clad, the other armoured in shadow, stared at one another. Distant rumbling sent dying tremors through the building as the bombardment moved on to other districts. Korax broke the silence first.
"What is the meaning of this, my brother?"
he said, gesturing meat-along claws at the mess of the slain.
"What happened to your warriors?"
Unable to help himself, the Night Haunter snarled. He caught it and turned it into a mocking smile, but not before all present had seen his anger. He was a predator, challenged by something just as dangerous. For a moment, Conrad Kurz exhibited weakness.
"I happened to them," said Kurz evenly.
Korax looked over the ruined flesh in the room in disbelief.
"What have you done?"
Kurz smiled blackly.
"An internal dispute, Lord Korax," he said airily. "A legion matter that I have resolved. You must understand, there are many criminals in your legion also. You have your ways of dealing with those who stray too far from the bounds of good conduct."
He poked a blade of mercy through the shattered eye lens of a helm and held it up for Korax to see.
"This is mine."
Korax's eyes lingered on the blood staining Kurz's chin.
"Then perhaps you could tell me why you are bombarding this already compliant sector."
"This Raven Lord has fought most of his brothers. Let our Lord teach him a lesson,"
Vor voxed Sevatar.
"I say we fight."
"Do not open fire," Sevatar ordered.
The muted clicks of the Ravens' voxes intruded on their frequency, a sure sign the Ravens were also communing with each other. From their stance, he guessed their conversation was going the same way. Kurz shifted his weight imperceptibly. Korax reacted in kind. His fingers twitched a fraction of a millimeter. The pair of them appeared at ease, but they were a hair's breadth from striking.
Don't curse, thought Sevatar. Don't fight him.
Kurz's narrowed eyes crinkled with a smile. A little tension bled from the room.
We are the weapon of fear no other legion dared to be. We are the glorious Eighth. You think I am a monster. I am a simple tool like you. We have different uses, though identical edges.
I do not think anything about you, said Korax, other than the disgust I feel for your methods.
Kurz shrugged.
You may join the line of all the others who feel the same. I don't care. I am exactly as the Emperor intended me to be. Are you really any better than I, Korax Shadow Skulker?
The Eighth are open in our murders. The 19th are assassins.
We are all killers. We are brothers in method as well as in blood.
Our way of war is clean, said Korax.
Sevatar found his voice annoyingly lugubrious. Such misery. They said he was raised in a prison, and that accounted for his saturnine demeanor. Sevatar wanted to hurl him into the deeps of Nostramo's hives, so he might better learn what lawlessness was. The Primarchs were preening fools, self-obsessed, unable to see the truth for their own aggrandized woes. Kurz was lonely in being true to himself. He was a fiend, but at least he was honest.
No war is clean. All of them come with a price, Kurz continued. Some are more obvious than others, that is all, and the price must always be paid.
Kurz sighed, shrinking into himself, bored.
War's reckoning awaits you. Do you wish to know the cost?
Korax's black, unreadable eyes rested on Kurz for several seconds.
I will return to my ship. Stop this bombardment. The conquest is falling behind schedule. We risk turning the population further from the Emperor's light.
I think you'll find them most pliable when I am done, said Kurz.
He turned his attention back to the broken helmet. He was done with the conversation. An unseen command passed between Korax and his warriors. Still covering the Night Lords, they retreated from the auditorium. When they were gone, a chime in Sevatar's helm signified that Corvus Korax wished to speak to him directly.
First Captain,
that silky, miserable voice said,
does he believe it to be true? That your legion is a weapon of fear?
He does.
Do you believe it?
Sevatar did not reply.
I say many of the other legions see you as a coterie of sadists and murderers, said Korax.
His voice was totally isolated from outside noise and spoke eerily into Sevatar's helm.
So I ask you again. Do you believe it?
My Lord Kurz,
Sevatar said stiffly and severed the vox.
My Lord Nighthaunter, what are your orders?
Sevatar asked the question as neutrally as he could, belying his concern that the answer might result in a command to hunt down their allies.
Let them go, said Kurz sadly. Now is not the time for us to kill our brethren.
Cold, dark dread rose through the choked channels of Sevatar's mind at those words. He stamped it flat, but not before unease threaded his veins with ice. A headache pulsed behind his left eye, making the lid twitch. He was grateful his face was hidden by his helmet. Kurz grinned at the First Captain suddenly, transforming his visage into a death's head rictus lit by febrile eyes.
Now you have met my brother. You must surely prefer crows to ravens.
That was a joke, thought Sevatar. He did not understand jokes.
My lord, are we finished?
For some unfathomable reason, that made Kurz cringe, and he nodded like a rebuked child. His sons wavered in their adoration. Then Kurz gathered his dignity and his wits. Standing from the pile of the dead, he clothed himself in a Primarch's majesty, obliterating memories of the pitiful cannibal thing he had been a few moments before.
We return, he said,
his voice rich with power, steady as his brothers had been. Sevatar let out a relieved breath that his father showed them this side of himself.
We shall arrange a teleport back to the Nightfall.
Sevatar dismissed the others. They reluctantly departed the theatre. Sevatar hesitated.
My lord, you said now is not the time to kill our brothers.
I did,
said Kurz distractedly. He was examining the auditorium, as if seeing it as it was before, unmarked by war and the blood of his sons. Sevatar thought carefully before continuing, but caution had never been his strongest attribute.
The phrasing you employed suggested to me that you have foreseen bloodshed. Is that the case?
Kurz stared at him, the black buttons of his depthless eyes threatening to swallow the first captain whole.
Will there come such a time?
Persisted Sevatar.
I can tell you how you die if you wish,
said Kurz softly. Grave as a corpse-choked battlefield from whence all the glory has fled.
Do you want to know?
It is far, far away from here, in the endless dark.
No, said Sevatar firmly. I do not want to know.
Then never ask me questions like that again, Sev,
said Kurz.
Your question and mine are different. But you will like the answer to neither much.
Kurz licked the blood from his already healing knee, lost in memory.
Korax affronted me, ordering me about like that. When the call came for the Eighth Legion to terrorize the Kuranian Sodality into submission, I arranged to be elsewhere,
he told the flesh sculpture.
I foresaw the event, and what would occur there when I was too far away to assist, and how poorly Korax's failure while acting in my stead would reflect on him. I assume he learned his lesson?
He was not so different to me. He espoused justice. He and Gilliman could fill a room with prattle about the law. Neither of them understood that laws are a modest cloak for feeble morality, a half-effort. Justice has no morals.
It must be a bloody undertaking.
Kurz smiled to himself, amused by the memory.
So righteous, so foolish. Korax wished for justice, but never understood how to ensure it,
Kurz sniffed.
Yet another of your failures?
He sniffed again, then scrubbed hard at his nose with the back of his wrist. Flecks of dried blood speckled his arm.
The corruption had taken root in the Night Lords by then. I was aware that the Legion was no longer mine. Criminals on Nostromo were providing poor stock, emptying their prisons, passing them off to bribed recruit masters as the finest individuals. Your great dream undermined by money.
Fate was set.
Soon the cries of brother slaying brother that troubled my waking moments would become visions of the end, where your precious Horus turned and spat on all you held dear. Your hubris echoed loudly down time, Father, loudly enough for me to see and hear it, but not loudly enough to convince the others. Not at all. Once more I spoke truth. I tried to tell Fulgrim. I tried to warn Dawn. Again I was called a monster.
His eyes unfocused, and he sat silent for a long time, his jaw working rotten teeth on rotten teeth, so they wobbled in their gums, and blood-threaded drool tracked down his chin. He did not notice.
I had a pet for a while,
he said, apropos of nothing.